Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Game Podcast from The Times. I'm Gabriel Marcotti, and says here that this is the best place to get a review of the weekend's football action. I like to think so. Many people like to think so. Maybe you'll agree. The Premier League is back. We're all excited because we're all supposed to go and say, oh, look, didn't the international break all stink? But to celebrate the fact that the Premier League is back and with a bang, we have an exceptional panel. My favorite panel because there's people who actually show up and don't just talk down the line. It's Tony Gasgarino, the excellent Alison Rudd, and finally, the excellent Julian Lawrence. Coming up, we'll be talking some Wayne Rooney and footballer behavior, and also some Spurs and West Ham, a cracking game. But there's one place to start, and it's at Old Trafford. No doubt, Alison, we will be getting into Jose Mourinho and some of the things he said after this game. But I wanted to point out, just to remind everybody, that this Manchester United team goes out there without their best defender, without their other key center back who's supposed to be a United captain one day because he's so clever and he did his A-levels. That would be Chris Smalling. Without Marouane Fellaini, who's not everybody's cup of tea, but is big and tall and has started most games. And without Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who has played every minute of every game in the Premier League for Manchester United ahead of this game. He goes out there without all those people and he has the upper hand. You want to show him some love?
Oh, not really. I think you could flip that and say this was the lineup a lot of Man United watchers and lovers wanted to see.
What, without Eric Bailly?
Yes. Not necessarily. It was just
they wanted to
it was
see
more
Rolf
it was
Jones.
A more logical lineup. There were players playing with the call for Rashford to play centrally, for example, and he was. It had a nice feel to it and some of their play had freedom and was exciting. And yet, I think you can say they were at home. Arsenal were incredibly... They lined up so defensively. I just felt, what is it that Man United are not doing to have established a 2 or 3 goal cushion before the inevitable happened, which was Giroud comes on, scores with a header, which I think anybody with a modicum of interest in football would have known was going to happen. I think, rather than giving love, I would say, why? Why are they still tentative? Why did that lineup not go at a very, very meek and mild Arsenal side? And that is worrying, I would say.
Cass, might I suggest because that it might have something to do with the fact that the people who are out are actually better than some of the people who are playing? I mean, I know like we all have to jump on the Rashford thing, but I think he would have rather played Ibrahimovic if he could have. Mm. And I think he certainly would have rather played Baye and Smalling rather than the two guys who did play. And I think it had a knock-on effect throughout the team, perhaps, in midfield. Said, like, you know, they weren't quite as relaxed as they might have been. Am I wrong here? Are you going to show Mourinho a little bit of love? Or are you going to be as harsh as Alisson?
We've always held Jose as being a really good tactician. Obviously, his record speaks for itself. Certainly, my days at Chelsea watching him, I thought he made a lot more right decisions than wrong. But I thought there, in a game, Arsenal were very, very negative. It was the most dismal game for an hour. And Man United created very little and were the better team. But I felt that you have to go after Arsenal. I think, you know, their brittle side that they've been over the years, where Mourinho, why he's got the better of Wenger, is because of the way he goes for the game. I think he's always gone for the jugular, more often than not. And I didn't think they quite did. And you're right, Zlatan would have played down the middle, but I would have probably wanted to stick someone alongside him with pace like Rashford to go down the middle. I think that would have been the way to really hurt Arsenal. It was such a dull game for so long until Mata scored.
But it's the crash bang wallop of the print now. Okay.
Well, Gab, it's sometimes you have to do horses for courses. And if you want to really test Arsenal, you always know that that is their Achilles heel. That you go after them, you bully them, you intimidate. You've got a chance more likely to win the game.
Hey, so, Julian, is it possible that, I mean, surely if Cass and I can figure this out, Mourinho probably figured it out too. But he probably also says that, look, I have Jones and Rojo back there, and Arsenal have the little nippy fast guys, and actually defeat would really be really, really bad, especially an undeserved defeat. And a win would be good, but, you know, it would probably be outweighed by the damage of a defeat. And so, you know, we'll just do enough and not go crazy and go for the and try to compress Arsenal and open up to the counterattack.
Yeah, I think he thought he had enough to win the game.
And he did, right?
Yeah, and he did up to the
The Peter check. You had the two really good Peter check saves. Yeah. You had the.
You had a few chances more than Arsenal, obviously, who had only one shot on target, and that was the header. And as much as Arsenal were disappointed, I thought the game plan for United worked to a certain point. They were not amazing. And like I said, I thought it was quite a boring game for a while. But in the end, it always must work. So I think Jose deserves some credit.
What? Hang on. What are you giving him credit for?
For putting Pogba in the right disposition for once. And we talked about that last week, I think, where we said about, or last week or the week before, about Pogba and how obvious it was for Carrick to get the best out of Pogba. And we saw, I think, a very good Paul Pogba on Saturday. And I think it works very well in midfield there, especially against Coquelin and Elneny, who, without Cazorla, don't have the same impact on the ball for Arsenal. And you could see that missing as well for them. So I thought that was spot on. The only thing maybe was in terms of the substitution he made was Schneiderlin coming on a bit late, maybe 84th minute. Maybe he could have brought him a bit earlier. Let's say the same time as Giroud came on for Arsenal. I thought Schneiderlin coming on was a bit late, and then when Oxlade-Chamberlain came on and played as that sort of like right wing back in a way because he came off for Jenkinson, was putting Rashford against him the best thing that Mourinho could have done instead of maybe
absolutely not
switching something.
I couldn't understand that plan of changing the lineup and pushing Rashford to the wide position. He's a 19-year-old kid who quite clearly would not understand the importance of defensive work on a side. And once, I mean, the way Chamberlain skipped past him, you can tell he had no idea how to defend that position.
When you put Rashford there because he's athletic enough to stay with Chamberlain.
What are you?
And also,
what you've said there is absolutely correct. Yes, he is athletic.
But he
wouldn't
understand the importance.
But he doesn't understand mentally how to do it.
What is he, a doofus? I don't understand. No, he's 19 years old, right?
No. Well, he is a doofus. He's completely left in a standstill position against a wide man who. He's not going.
I know.
He doesn't know how to do it. Whether me and you sit there and
but I don't.
Debate
how
it,
do you not know how to do this when A, you're a professional footballer, but B, like, you know that these people have gone through the Old Trafford. They're not like normal people, right? These people, like, from the age of what, whenever he joined the United Academy, which I'm assuming would have been 12 or 13 or 14, right? They have coaches. They've been training him every day. It seemed like, I mean, the way Jamie Carragher, for example, explained it, it seemed like such a basic thing. That this guy got wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong in saying that, like, he screwed up.
The difference is, imagine when Rashford plays as a left winger, if you want, he's used to defend against the opposition's right back.
Yeah.
Okay. This time he was not right back. He was defending against. It was actually Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who is a
who's
right
playing
winger.
Right back.
Yeah, but he's a right winger. He's not a right back. So the way.
Sorry. If they're in possession, you're Rashford. What is
you
the difference?
What is the difference? You used to defend against right backs in the league, okay?
Because, like, say, Hector Bellerin.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Even Hector Bellerin wouldn't have passed him the way Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain did.
You don't think so, no.
Definitely
why?
Not.
Because he's too slow?
Because he's a right back. Although he's an offensive right back, he doesn't attack like a right winger. You can't ask a right back to do the same as a right winger. And for Rashford to defend against a right winger is completely different than to defend against a right back.
And he was, confused. He could tell that he wasn't quite sure of how to defend.
So do we blame Rashford?
Blind,
or,
by the way?
What? Who?
What was Blind?
Who's that?
Blind. Came on as,
who's
as
that?
Left back. Blind should have been.
Blind? What?
Yeah.
What?
Exactly.
Isn't just to defend Rashford a little bit? Isn't he's worked his socks off, presumably, down the middle. Trying to, he knows the pressure's on him. Suddenly, he's got this brand new job to do against someone who's just come off the bench, who's already super fast and has more energy than anyone else on the bench. He can be forgiven a moment of
I'm not questioning Rashford. I'm questioning Mourinho.
Let's go. You guys can't even show the guy any less. Sorry, just, there's no. I think we need some castles in here to balance things out. On the let's look at it the other way. Let's look about Wenger. You guys all saying that they were way too defensive.
Yeah.
Arsenal.
No.
What? No.
No.
Aha, uh-huh, you're wrong, Cass.
I just thought they couldn't. They were in a bad day. Bad days happen in football. You can't always be at your best. Ozil can't always be, especially after the international break. Sanchez, I don't really know why Alexis Sanchez started up front like that. He would have been better on the left. I don't think he was ready to play.
This is the age-old thing. Like, seriously. The Sanchez thing, because there are people who say he's, no, yeah, this is his real position when they win and then they lose, then they don't play well, and now he needs to go back. I mean, I personally like him on the wing. I like Giroud up front. But then I say, like, I like Giroud, and people are like, oh, no, look, you're an idiot because he's a big, tall lump and he misses lots of chances.
I'm just saying that I don't think Alexis was fit enough to play as a centre forward in that game.
Well, you'd almost think he...
I thought it would have been okay to play on the left, not centre forwards, for example. But I think Wenger deserved. I think he realised the team was not in a very good day, that they were struggling on the ball, they were very sloppy in their passing, and that he tweaked things. I thought, again, Giroud could have come in earlier, but I think the Oxlade-Chamberlain on the right hand side was a very good idea, I have to say.
I thought they were just appalling to watch, actually. And you know what?
But they were not defensive. They didn't go there defensively.
It was a very defensive lineup.
But because they were in a bad day, and when you're in a bad day, when you're not playing well and you know it, when you're not in good form and you know it.
Even
the players.
9 o'clock the night before, see, did he? Wenger
didn't say to his player, you're going to play deep today. We're going to play very defensive. Wenger never says that. Wenger says to his boy, just enjoy and play the usual football.
You're already making the minds up of the players by your team selection, because he put the two really holding midfielders in front of the back four. And also, I would argue that Arsenal are a far better team on the front foot. Now, without being kamikaze, they are a much more better team. When they try and, you know, as a tactical game plan, I think Arsenal fall down way more. And they did get away with it. We know they got away with it. They scored with their only attack with a minute to go. So they had totally got away with this game.
But I don't think he told them to be defensive. They were in a bad day. They realised it. Mm. They were not sharp in their passing. But, and when they're not sharp, that's what they revert to.
I got to kind of go back to this, and I'm a big fan of Iwobi, and I hold my hand up. I don't know what he did during the international break, if he went away or whatever.
Yeah.
And I like Ramsey too, but I don't like Ramsey when he plays like this. I thought Ramsey was really, really a rough time. What does Iwobi need to do to get back on the pitch? Well, why was he not starting? Has he been secretly poor in training? Or,
no, I think the Tottenham performance, where I think slightly Wenger might have felt, I take him out the firing line. Sometimes with younger players, you go, he had a bit of a difficult game and didn't quite happen for him. And I think that's probably the reason why he was taken out the first team.
But with no Fellaini, you've got to have Giroud there bossing it, haven't you? I mean, it just felt bit unbalanced and not very clever.
What's the problem here? Seriously, is it?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not even sure Olivier knows himself. I think it's Alexis has done very well, but again, I don't want to go back to the international break. They're professional players, blah blah blah. But he was injured. He played the two games. He came back doing like 13 or 14 hours playing. He came back on Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening. And yeah, he still played at 12:30 on a Saturday. I don't know. I was surprised to make that decision
because he always looks at every angle. And normally with international matches, he'll take people out the firing line. And he didn't with Sanchez. I thought that was very
on the Mata goal. Tremendous technique. I thought the build up. I thought it was also nice, good technique from Pogba in the build up as well. Mm. The more I watched it, the worse though it looked in terms of Theo Walcott.
Oh my God.
And I suppose Elneny had to track the runner, whoever it was. But, you know, it's funny because I have one guy on Twitter in particular, whenever I'm critical of Theo Walcott, comes out and says, oh, but he had 27 goals and 19 assists like 3 years ago and blah, blah, blah. And I look at this and I'm like, you know, you talked about Rashford switching off before. Yeah. All right, well, what's this guy's excuse?
None compared to Rashford.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, none. Because he's a much more experienced player. He's a guy that's played that position for numerous seasons. If you lose concentration in certain moments of a game, when you're under pressure, the price is what happens with Mata scoring, because you fell asleep slightly and get caught out of position. Then you're trying to make catch up on a player that's got away from you.
Not to mention Mata's so slow. You would imagine Walcott could easily catch him. Right?
He was there. It's like he had to run for 90 yards and he's just shattered and he can't. And he's there. He's looking at him and he's just jogging slowly, and then suddenly the guy scored, and he was like, oh, maybe I should have gone a bit closer and talked.
I don't understand this guy. We're going to be talking about Wayne Rooney footballer behavior later, but there's a quote here from Jose Mourinho, and I have to say, I haven't read the original quote, so you guys will bear with me for a second. I'm going to find it, because the headline says, Mourinho, quote, Rooney is too slow. The actual quote...
The other players are quicker, basically.
I believe players like Martial and Rashford, Juan Mata, which I think that's where you really start worry, were faster than Wayne, better attacking opponents, one-to-one on the last line, blah, blah, blah. Now, obviously, he's talking about it, Rooney, in this context. Should we all just like take a deep breath and kind of chill a little with Rooney and talking about? I mean, I'm kind of surprised Mourinho's even talking about him.
You mean talking about him as a player? You're surprised he's talking about him as a player? Well, he will be asked. He will be asked.
I know, but was he duped by people in the when they're like, why didn't? I mean, I'm trying to picture this, right? Because had I been at this game, I'm imagining like one question I would not be asking of Mourinho is, why didn't you start Wayne Rooney? Is it the case that somebody actually asked them rather than him volunteering this information?
I wasn't there, but why wouldn't you ask the question, Gab?
Because it's a freaking stupid question.
No, it's not, because it gets headlines.
I know, but there are other players who are better right now. He just had this whole rigmarole with his private life and whatever.
Mourinho was asked, why did you drop Rooney? And then he said, I thought we were going to have the ball. And then he said, I believe the players are played.
Was he right?
You asked me if he... Yeah. I wouldn't have started when Rooney.
When you say quicker, and we all laughed at, you know, Mata, is he quicker than Rooney?
Sometimes speed of thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no. Speed exactly. of there's no argument. I mean,
we all talk about you have a 50-meter race. We all know that Wayne would beat Mata, but speed of thought, I think it's unquestioned that Mata would certainly do something quicker than Wayne would.
The point you're making, Gab, is aren't you saying why didn't Mourinho say he's not fully fit? He was not fully fit on international duty. He has come back. Not 100%. That's why I didn't start him. You don't have to throw an insult at him.
That's true.
Now, which does imply he's trying to get a message to Rooney that you need to up your fitness and mental fitness levels.
Can I just make one point here? Now, I know we look at...
You get the last word here, Cass.
The ratings. We look at ratings, and I know a lot of them are meaningless when we see them. But is there a game this season you'd have gone, if we all had to make a rating of a player, where you'd have gone, Wayne was 8 out of 10 today? Would you have said that on any game this season? Now, remember, he's England captain, he's United captain. And we're all questioning whether he should be in the team. And to me, it's quite obvious, no. But would you go there was a game where, actually, yeah, he was an 8 out of 10?
I think unless your name is Paul and your last name is Stretford, I don't think anybody would go and argue that.
No, but that's your answer to why he's not in the team and why are you saying he should not. Nobody should ask the question.
Right.
It's so obvious.
No, I get how it works. And again, as a reporter, that's the question you want to ask. And as Mourinho, that's the question you probably don't want to answer. And maybe... At this point, he answered it. But it's been
so average.
Yeah, season. No. Just that normally Mourinho's very good at coming out and deflecting. Mm. But I think Mourinho does have a point. United, I think, have been really unlucky in a number of games, certainly in recent weeks. And, you know, they wouldn't be top of the table, but they would be round around where Spurs are. And people would be making less of an issue of this. We're going to be back in a minute talking Spurs, West Ham, and some more Rooney. Shout out to our sponsors, FanDuel. That's fanduel.co.uk. It's one day, it's just daily fantasy sports, basically. As regular listeners will know, that I thought fantasy sports was something that was slightly lame and slightly made for kids and people who didn't know better. But this is actually a bit different because they use a whole algorithm to tell you how many points your guys get. The other thing that's pretty cool about it, unlike normal fantasy games, you don't have to commit for the whole season. You're in and out one or two days, and you can win money off it. And there's the 22-player contest, for example, which I've entered teams in. It's £4 an entry, and you can win up to 75 quid. So stuff like this I find is actually fun. And the way it works, obviously people who've played fantasy will know, you get £100 million you can spend on your squad. You got to be clever about it because you have to consider who's playing that week and whatnot, and who's more likely to score points for you. Anyway, you can go to fanduel.co.uk, and if you enter our promo code, which is the game, not hard to remember, you're going to be given free credit of up to £10 if you don't win cash in your first contest. So it's a pretty good deal. Now, this is only available in the United Kingdom. You have to be over 18. Please play responsibly. And, of course, terms and conditions apply. We're back in Tottenham and West Ham. I thought, from a neutral's perspective, this was maybe one of the most exciting games of the weekend.
Oh, you were going to say the season. That's hardly high praise.
It is what it is. But Alison, you had the good fortune of being there.
Yeah, they tend to be exciting when I'm there. I think there's a link. Yeah, no, it was incredible. It was a very, very strange match in lots of ways. First of all, going to the stadium, I've never seen so many police before kickoff outside a stadium for the whole of the Premier League era. There wasn't any trouble. There were too many police for there to be trouble. And when you got into the stadium, there was a really strange tension. London derbies have it always, I know, but it was a peculiar one this time. And Spurs were really inhibited, really quite inhibited. And it looked, felt like West Ham thought, this is quite interesting. I think we could get something here. And West Ham played slightly more intelligent football. Then you saw the celebration of the any season. It, Harry Winks come through the academy, fans absolutely adore him. That boy could stop still, blow his nose, and they would cheer like crazy. This is a really lovely story. He got the equaliser. Then West Ham went back into the lead. You thought, what the hell's going on here? Because Spurs looked like they'd finally got their act together. And then you get two really, really late goals as, in my opinion, and I did put this to Slaven Bilic, why on earth did he take Payet off when there were over 10 minutes left of the game, because there was 6 minutes added time in that match? It really made West Ham wobble. It gave the home crowd a lift, Spurs a lift. I know you can't make these things logical, and I can't go back in time and prove it, but it felt like they were, instead of keeping going as they had been, they were clinging on, and it was not the sort of game where you cling on.
But Alison, the guy who replaced Payet is one of those reliable Northern European types who will never let you down in his decision making. Right? Not like one of those crazy Latin types.
You caught him on a free as well from the Bundesliga and you were very happy.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to certain players and certain fetishes that people have with the Bundesliga, it just drives me absolutely demented. But that's an argument for another time. Cass, obviously Harry Winks, tremendous story. I mean, goodness knows, when's the last time some local kid named Harry goes and scores for West Ham? But
Tottenham
even. But I'm just wondering, Joe, from Pochettino's perspective, because I'm a big Dele Alli guy. I know he's been up and down. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was in the bench.
Yep.
Janssen, who, you know, I think has issues starting up front. Is this one situation where maybe we praise Pochettino for actually getting things spectacularly wrong and then fixing them?
Yeah, well, obviously the substitution of Son was a huge difference, and getting it wrong. Janssen's, I'd seen quite a lot of Dutch football in the last few years, and without being sound really typical, generalising, there's a lot of bad strikers in Holland. There are. Luke de Jong, I watch regular, who's at PSV. Then I'd go to Milik, who's now at Napoli, who was at Ajax, who I think's not bad, but never a replacement for Higuain. I just think that you're judging from a very poor
level.
Who's
the Danish kid at Ajax now?
Kasper Dolberg.
Who's got Simon Cooper excited? Do you like him?
I haven't seen him.
Or is he the next Victor Fischer?
But I think there's a lot of very average strikers. And Janssen, he holds the ball up, he does all the typical things we're going to say, leads the line well, blah, 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 but he doesn't look nowhere near the right quality.
Why does Pochettino start him?
I don't know. It's not even starting him, it's like insisting with him, because, you know, he gave him a few chances already and he keeps playing him, and he keeps even changing the team to accommodate Janssen, because that formation with Eriksen playing behind two strikers, it's like, why?
They were totally
run
around, Julian.
Yeah, why did you do that? It makes no sense. And that was just for Janssen. There was no other reason than doing that apart from him. And clearly,
he hasn't got any centre forwards beyond Harry Kane. He needs to have some sort of backup.
Stop it with this silly argument.
Keep the Dutch on the bench.
Yeah, first of all, you don't need to play with three centre forwards in one go. And secondly, you've got Hongmin Son. Yeah. And you have Harry Kane. And you have this guy. Let this guy be the third, your third striker.
Yeah,
right? I mean, you have enough attacking midfielder types, right, that you don't need to go and play two up front.
And it's been so successful for Tottenham, playing that Harry down the middle and Eriksen on the right, Dele Alli in behind, and maybe a Son on the left, Lamella. You know, it's been very successful. And they were totally outplayed for periods of certainly the first half.
Mm. Yeah. No, well, I just think he must believe the only. I mean, yes, Janssen's dreadful. He must believe. He must believe that all he needs is more match time. But you can tell from his physique, he's not going to be the whippet that Pochettino likes to play.
But then you put your team in danger of dropping points. Like they should have lost. And because trying to put Janssen again and again and again and again put your team in danger of dropping points where you probably wouldn't have if you'd play your best team and leave him on the bench, for example. That's why I don't understand. Pochettino is so intelligent. I just don't understand why he insists, you know, he keeps trying to accommodate the team for Janssen.
Well, he's also got the juggling disease, which is not a big European game.
Got Chelsea next game as well, away,
haven't
they?
So Monaco and Chelsea.
I think you'll find that you'll probably see Janssen now being on the bench week in, week out. I think that was the last chance against West Ham.
When he came off, he looked like a player who'd been told this is your last chance. He looked like he knew he'd blown it.
Slaven Bilic, I know we have a soft spot for him.
He's a lovely man.
I do.
But West Ham's position on the table is really, really bad. I know, obviously, they had all the injuries and whatever else. And again, you were there, Alison. I watched on TV. I thought Sokol was terrible.
He was really bad
in this game. And I don't know if he's not right or if he's not ready, and I'm wondering. And I know that he says, oh, I'll make a joke about ha, 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 but then Simone Zaza has to start, yada, yada, yada. But there are other solutions, aren't there?
I quite like the depth of West Ham's squad, actually. And there are parallels with Pochettino persisting with Janssen and Bilic not realising earlier that he needed to get Sakho off the pitch because he was off the pace and he didn't look interested. He looked like there might be issues going on. It's a mean thing to say because we do not know what's going on, but he has had them in the past as a player. Yeah. And sometimes some players are more visibly letting things get to them. Mm. And he wasn't linking up well either. Whereas, you know, sometimes this season, like in the League Cup against Chelsea, when West Ham click, they look like a really quite superb team. And goodness knows how they're only 1 point above the relegation zone.
How can you play for West Ham in such a big game, well, or any game, and be so disgraceful like Sokol was?
Disgraceful.
No, I thought it was.
He offered nothing to the team.
It's like if he was not playing. You would have done better than him.
Gee, thank you.
Yeah. Can I just ask Julian one question? Because he's around the French squad.
Yes.
Is Dimitri Payet as fit as he was last year?
In terms of fitness?
He just looks like he's slightly out of condition compared. Because Alisson said in a piece and that was a big changing point. I still think he's doing well, but he just doesn't quite look as fit.
I think he's always looked like this. I think he's always...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Look like he was not the fittest and things like that. And
dudes from a faraway island, right? You don't always get all the fine.
True.
You know.
That's very true.
I just watched him and thought, there's only a slight difference in him, but I just thought, is he just a little bit out of condition, that's unfair, but just slightly off the edge of his game?
More likely, West Ham to be relegated or Spurs to win the title?
No, neither. Who knows?
You can't say neither. One has to be more likely.
Yeah.
Oh,
more likely. Spurs win the title.
Spurs win the title.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are that high in West Ham. You seem to remember. You seem to sometimes forget who runs the club. Imagine, look at how much negative press that stupid Olympic Stadium, London Stadium, has attracted. What is the best way to make this all go away? Relegate them. Send them back to the Championship. No, then maybe they'll move somewhere else. Maybe they'll move to Twickenham or something. And then they can come. And then, you know, seriously.
Before the match, you can assume Bilic had a meeting with the players and said, OK, this is how they're probably going to play. This is Spurs. This is the qualities of him and him. This is Son. This is what Son does. He runs in behind. If you leave that space, he's going to go there. This is Janssen. This is how Janssen plays. Yeah? When the West Ham players saw Son coming on and still played until the end, like if it was Janssen and not Son on the pitch, what went wrong there? How can you not think, okay, this is Son. Son is coming on. We know exactly how he plays. Let's make sure that he doesn't do what he does best, which is running in behind us.
So I can answer that question.
What, this? Slightly. Think or something?
Okay, one of them will move on. No, but put it this way. It's a team game. So having one person adjust, one person who realized this, or maybe even two people, or even three people who realize this, but then not everybody else realizes, and you don't make the adjustment collectively, then it's not going to work. And then you're better off continuing to play the way you did.
I disagree. I think at that level, you should be able to say, okay,
yeah, okay, no, 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 change the formation. You're missing the point. You're missing the point here. Follow me, what I'm saying here.
Okay. Your eyes as well.
Let's suggest that three people realize this and three people had a plan for how to do it.
Yeah.
If they didn't trust that the person in front or maybe another person on the back three or the person on the wing was ready to make the adjustment because they didn't realize or they don't think that way, they might have said, you know what, we're better off continuing this way because this person's not going to follow us. It's a bit like pressing. You do it collectively, it works. If one guy says, or playing the offside trap, for example, yeah, you get it? Okay, enough Spurs for this show. You know, most weeks we have a debate section, and this week we're talking Wayne Rooney, the FA, moral outrage. Wayne Rooney came out and talked about how he feels harassed, he feels it's disgraceful, how the media have gone after him. He's clearly not just referring to his some of his performances on the pitch, he's also referring to this story that came out during the international break in a national newspaper, which ostensibly showing him, revealed basically that he was out at 5 o'clock in the morning, or not out, he was in at the hotel, but he joined this wedding party. This was a night off. He had no commitment until I think it was 11 o'clock the next morning. And as we now know, he was probably injured at the time and wasn't going to be playing against Spain the next day. But this has really created, this has been one of those things that sort of, you know, as happens here in England sometimes, has been dominating the headlines, people talking about behavior. You got ex-pros saying, oh, they need to let their hair down. Other people saying, what's the big deal? Everybody drinks. In parallel with this, there's another story which was deemed newsworthy by some, which I just find odd. But Adam Lallana and Jordan Henderson, by the way, I didn't know they knew each other. I mean, obviously they're teammates with England, but what do they know each other from the under-21s or what? They were never teammates, right?
Anyway, no, since now,
Liverpool, Liverpool, but they're very good friends.
Okay, we're very good friends.
They do the advert together.
Yes, they do the advert together. They decided that they used their time off to, and I think in the end it was like about 16, 18 hours off, something like that.
Yeah.
To drive down to Bournemouth to go to a strip club. Now, I have no issue with the strip club. It does seem like a long way to go for 18 hours. But anyway, I think Lallana's from that part of the world, so maybe he wanted to show Henderson what the South Coast was like.
You know, we only see the bad side.
Right.
I can imagine that Adam Lallana and Henderson had a conversation. And probably, Adam, I'm going back to Bournemouth this weekend. I'm going to go back, maybe see some family members. He said, but I'll tell you what, should we have a night out or go somewhere? And they've just joined up together and gone down there. I can't sort of think this was a well-planned journey. Let's go 180 miles out of our way so we won't be noticed in Bournemouth. I mean, just find that ludicrous.
I just find this whole thing odd because it seems to me that there's this belief here in England, right, that like when there's underachievement, it's always down. For some reason, it's down to the environment of the camp, right? We had all these people whinging and whining, oh, you know, Capello's camp, it was like a prison camp, blah, blah, blah. And like, you guys are there to do a freaking job, right? I mean, do we talk about like, you know, soldiers in war being too wound up and not having comfortable conditions? Now the opposite happens. Now they supposedly treat them like adults and give them more latitude. And now it's a story in the opposite direction. And Cass, I would imagine you're going to tell me that every athlete drinks or whatever. The FA are investigating this.
No, not everyone does.
No, not everyone. No. Jordan Henderson is a teetotaler. Yeah.
So is James Milner.
Okay, great.
So is James McLean.
Yeah, but he's got other issues.
He drinks fizzy drinks.
Exactly. No, but the FA deems this important enough to investigate. And, and the way I kind of look at it is, I don't really care what you do. It's obviously not. It's only friendly against Spain. Nobody cares. But don't embarrass the people you're working for. Don't embarrass your employer. If you're out till 5 o'clock in the morning in a public place at a wedding where people take pictures and you're very famous, you're embarrassing your employer because you've been in this country a long time and you know that people will make an issue of it. Is that too much to ask of the England captain?
I don't know. So, I mean, I've been in these situations before, Gab, myself, and I would have had no intention of, you know, of course I might have gone out and ended up at a wedding party I did at Marseille, my first home game at Marseille. I ended up in a wedding party. a hotel, they invited me in. They found out it was a Marseille player, just signed. They offered, I was in the Hotel Concorde at Marseille. And a wedding party asked me to go into the wedding for photos. And I just went, yeah. And I had a couple of drinks in there, but I left. But sometimes intentionally, he doesn't mean to embarrass the FA. It just develops as the nights goes on. And he's probably stayed later than he probably thought he would have. Probably had a good time. He's taken a lot of flack the last 3 months and was probably not considering. Yes, it's stupid, Gab. I don't deny it. But we all do stupid things at times. I've done many, many stupid things.
I know. I think you also pay the consequences for many of the stupid things
you did.
Do you know
what I would say as well? Do you know what? All the best teams I've played in, I've been part of going out and times on the odd occasion and we had an atmosphere within the group and I wouldn't swap that for what we ended up achieving. I never won anything in my career.
Yeah.
I got promoted, but I wouldn't have won anything, Gab. I wasn't good enough to play for Liverpool
you
or
played
Man
for
United.
Celtic. You could have won something.
Well, I couldn't. I left before the end of the season. do you know what? Some of my greatest memories of being with the lads and the atmosphere I had within that group.
I'm glad you have very nice memories, and I'm glad Wayne Rooney has very nice memories too. But by the same token, I don't have a problem. You make your decisions. You face your own consequences. Am I wrong here, Alison?
No, I agree with you. First of all, he's England captain. That has to. If it means anything at all, it's about. Oh, I don't know. Showing that you're a grown up. He's undermined Gareth Southgate. In public, they'll say, yes, we're all behind the gaffer. We think you make a great England manager. And then in one stroke, they've made Gareth Southgate look like he's either made a very poor call by giving them time off or a very weak character by not knowing how to control them. Suddenly, they all look like kids as opposed to grown-ups. Yes, they beat Scotland, but they still had another match. And downtime does not mean getting plastered. It should mean getting to know each other better, doing stuff that makes you feel like you're part of a family and a group and having trust in each other so that when you go out and play, you know that you all know each other really well and you trust each other. And yet it is possible for a dynamic that's going well off the field of play to work well on the field of play. And all going off in different directions and acting oddly in different places does not make you a good team.
It's not the drinking, I think, in this case with Rooney. He wasn't going to play. And if he'd stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning in the hotel lobby doing crunches, it still would have been odd and weird behavior. And I don't understand why can't this person be normal when he's at work and not realize that, as you said there, Gareth Southgate has not signed his contract yet. You want to undermine and make him seem like another buffoon? Hey, seriously, think back to. I challenge you guys to think back to previous England managers and tell me the last England manager who isn't considered a bit of a freak show and a buffoon. No, because I honestly, you're doing like obviously Sam wasn't around long, but we all made the, I'm a keynote speaker, the pint of wine, right? Boy, that was hilarious. Roy Hodgson, you all made fun of the way he talked and whatever and his face. Capello was another weirdo, couldn't speak the language. McLaren and the Brawley, how much people laugh at him? Eriksson couldn't keep it in his trousers, right? And by the end, everybody was tired of that.
Keegan,
I don't even want to go there. Hoddle, yeah. Yes, okay, yeah. Fine. Yeah, that's a great example of everything. and then the Terry Venables. Seriously, the last person, and you know what?
But there's every national manager, nearly every nation. I mean, go back to...
No. This is just you. I mean, this is just England. You know, I know we had Dominic, and Dominic was a bit of a weirdo, but it's nowhere near as bad as England.
And actually, you know what?
No, I disagree with that.
Listen, no.
Dominic was the worst than any of them.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
He picked his team with the tarot cards.
But. Let's take the Republic of Ireland as an example, right?
Big Jack.
No, well, forget Mick. But
Martin.
Yes, my mate Martin. Does the Irish media make fun of him and say, oh, look, Martin's such a weirdo. Oh, look at him and his funny glasses. No, they don't, right? They'll criticize him if they do badly.
There's a few programs on in Ireland.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't watch Irish television.
That's what I'm going to tell you.
Yes, you're talking about Rosenstock.
They take a mickey out of the managers. Yes, they do. But
okay, but I'm not talking about a satirical...
When you qualify for tournaments and then you win games, then you've got more likelihood that you won't get criticized.
I'm not talking about satirical programs. I'm talking about mainstream press. And under this undermining of Gareth Southgate, I just think it was just unnecessary. It's like, gee, thanks very much. And you know what? And like Matthew Syed has a piece today. He says like, oh, but you know, like this sanctimony. It's not about sanctimony, right? I don't care what you do. But I just care that you don't make the situation more complicated. If the press are a bunch of jackasses and that's what you think that they are, that's fine. And don't give them more ammunition. Don't go exactly, and cry afterwards in the mix zone about they're going after me.
How long have you been in this country living, Gab?
A long time.
Okay. And you don't tell me the press are not the best in the world at getting stories in England. They are incredible.
They are incredibly good at it. Yeah,
they're not finding good anything. On any level.
Someone rings them and they get paid 50 quid it's not. They're not finding anything. It's like people calling. That's why I struggle to understand
Julian, is that they don't need anything to create a story.
No.
Yeah. A lot of times.
But they need,
look at this story.
No, this story is true, though.
Yeah. The worst with Rooney is that he's going through the worst time of his career, clearly. How stupid are you to just think like, it's really the time where I know all the media are watching me when I play, when I don't play. This is when I have to be an example because I'm the captain and I know, if he doesn't, then it's even worse. But he should know that, you know, the whole thing is really going bad for him.
Do you think if Barthez was English, what stories would he have made?
But it's a different culture, Cass. You can't compare with France. We would never write that story.
You compared your managers to English managers.
Cass, sorry, was there a moment in time when Barthez was captain of an underachieving France side?
Well, he's never captain.
Uh-huh. Well. Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Barthez was a goalkeeper. It was always kind of like the weirdo at the back.
Because
Laurent Blanc behaved that way. Okay.
No, but
it's a different situation.
Oh, Barthez smoked weed. He got done. He got suspended for 6 months. And that was it. We never did like...
Blaming the press or the player?
For what?
Because you're saying he smoked weed and he got done for 6 months.
Yeah, but we treated it as a news story. And that was it. We didn't put judgment.
So that's
what
I'm saying. Are you blaming the press because we overripe everything here and we continue to go on about
definitely.
It?
Definitely. And, okay. And Rooney as well. I think both there.
It's not normal. This behavior. You people think that this is normal. This is letting your hair. This is not normal. Not when you're in that role. And the fact that he doesn't understand it. You know when Mourinho's saying, blaming the FA for not protecting Rooney? At first I thought like, oh, come on, Mourinho. Like, again, like, it was the bitching and the moaning. But then I realized, actually, you have a point. You know, he obviously has his own reasons for protecting it, for blaming the FA.
So why didn't he send a car?
No. The bottom line of it is absurd that this person, right, who's the England captain, who's a dad, who's got a family and everything, needs protection. Well, what does Mourinho want to do? Have two chaperones hanging out with him, making sure that, oh, look, let's make sure he doesn't go do something stupid? He's not Gaza, but you've kind of turned him into him with your inanities over the years.
So Alex Ferguson used to send a plane to get Irwin and Keane on every trip. Wherever they were, Dublin, Eastern Bloc, a plane would come out, private jet for them to get them back as quick as they could. Now, has there been any communication between Mourinho and Southgate or even Rooney himself to say, Saturday, you were out of the team? He knew he was out of the team and he weren't going to train the next day, when Mourinho might have phoned up and said, get Rooney back here in Manchester today.
Why should he go back to Manchester? He's even captain.
Why shouldn't he? Because it stops the situation.
This is exactly the point. He stayed with England because he's England captain and Southgate thought this is about building team morale. It doesn't matter who plays against Spain. The point is, we're a team, we're together. Rooney stays, and
Harry Kane does the
exact opposite. And instead of staying and having a good time behind closed doors with his teammates, for some reason he feels the need to sit with people he does not know, complete strangers, dressed in his England kit till 5 a.m. As Gab says, that is odd.
Yeah. I agree it's odd, but I also would say that Harry Kane went back to his club, and I would also argue that Jose can blame the FA and can blame whoever he wants, but he can also say, well, maybe I should have got him back to Manchester knowing he was out of the team and knowing he wasn't going to train the next day.
If he wasn't England captain, he would have.
Sir Alex would have done
that. He would have. There's a reason why you're England captain, you stay, and Rooney has made it perfectly clear that he's not really England captain material by staying and doing that. Right.
Just to finish, there was that former player, and it was not Cass, and I really can't remember who he was, who then said, I don't understand, because people always say that football players are in their own world, they never mix with normal people, they're cut off from their fans, and what Rooney did is actually the opposite. You know, he went, no, he's not, it's weird. He could have just gone to that wedding, taken a few photos, signed a few autographs, and then gone to bed or gone to play the PlayStation if he wanted in his room.
Do you think people wouldn't pester the hell out of you? Do you really think that he's going to go, oh, yeah, 5 minutes played to that? No way. They forced him to drink until five o'clock in the morning. But you saying 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and you are not getting away from this wedding.
After half an hour, what would you do more? I've been there.
I've been in that situation.
Not until five and not drunk. You said you stayed for a bit and then you went to six.
I went and stayed at six. No, it's okay, it's the crazy people of the wedding party who came out for the captain, don't let them know, it's the bride and the groom. I've been in that situation. Yes. I'm nowhere near as famous as Wayne Rooney or Dan Achieved, anything near him. But you go somewhere and you ain't getting out there. You are not leaving in 10 minutes.
That's fine.
Yes, but not so maybe it's half an hour.
Maybe it's 45 minutes. How is it that? I mean, using your logic, then like David Beckham would just be in a permanent prison all his life. I mean, how does Lionel Messi...
He is in a prison all his life. They don't.
He stayed till 5 o'clock in the morning
because to some degree he wanted to be there.
Okay? Nobody forced him to be there.
Typical journalist, I'm sitting in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, by the way, are far worse than us.
Matthew Syed is on your wavelength. Maybe you should. We've had this conversation too about who's worse. You know, there are people beyond Irish journalists
or journalists of Irish descent.
Do you really believe that? Thank you all for your views on Wayne Rooney. I'm imagining this debate won't go away, which is a bit of a shame and part of your problem to begin with. Right, how about some what we call quick hits? Now, for those who are unfamiliar, like maybe those of you listening on TalkSport 2, the idea here is that I ask a question. I'm free to talk over and shout over anybody I like, whenever I like, in whatever way I like. But the people answering the question after, because we don't want them to go on for too long and be all really boring, after 20 seconds, they will hear this sound effect. When they reach 25 seconds, they'll hear this sound effect. Okay. Hopefully everybody will be disciplined and I won't need to use my sound effects. It's 6 wins out of 6 for Chelsea, who beat Middlesbrough 1-0, and now they leapfrog City and Liverpool in the top of the table. Alison, are you ready to crown them yet? What could go wrong?
What could go wrong is Eden Hazard gets an injury and teams start to work out how to play 3-4-3. At the moment, they're not, and it's giving... a lot of freedom to players such as Victor Moses, who is regularly man of the match simply because no one knew what he could do if he had the ball so often. He's in so much space. The system also allows Hazard to express himself. And do you know there are now more Victors in the Premier League than any other name?
You mean people named Victor?
What? Called Victor?
You just made that up.
No, you made that up.
It's true.
Wanyama, Moses.
Yeah, you see, there's loads.
Valdez.
Wow, very impressive. Yaya Touré returns with a bang to the City midfield as they win at Crystal Palace 2-1. Yaya reportedly said he knew Pep would need him at some point. Julian, does this actually make City better, or is this just shop window stuff ahead of January?
I don't think it makes them better, really. I know he scored two, but you know, it was against Crystal Palace and Alan Pardew, so I think it's more stuff ahead January, and I just can't see Pep choosing Yaya over the other better players he has and he's used so far.
So you think it's simply the Pardew effect?
Yeah, Pardew effect.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Liverpool are held at Southampton 0-0 thanks to some heroic defending and some bad finishing. Cass, should Klopp have sent Sturridge on sooner or maybe change the approach given that some Liverpool players looked a little bit tired?
No, I don't think he should have put Sturridge on sooner. What is amazing me in the game at the moment is that this was a result that took Liverpool top of the league table only for 24 hours, that they could have easily won with Firmino's chance and Mane if they take them. A 0-0 draw at Southampton now is treated as a terrible result. I thought it was a good result and took them top of the league only for 24 hours. So, no, Sturridge, I think, was used in the right way.
Right, maybe it's a good result, but maybe given the chances they created...
Well, you miss chances some days. Like they hit six against Watford, took every chance they had. You can't have it every game. You can take
maybe
every
Sturridge
chance.
Had been on
people
for longer.
People do miss.
All right. There's a strikers coalition here. Leicester City fall at Watford 2-1. Alison, it's your call. You can either lament Ranieri's plight or celebrate Watford once again, proving all those stupid, ignorant, ill-informed haters wrong in questioning, the turnover of managers and blah, blah, blah. Which do you choose to do?
Well, they didn't look stupid when they got thrashed 6-1, as Cass kindly reminds me, at Anfield. But Vicarage Road is a bit of a fortress, and it's they do play well there, so fine. It's lesser and more interesting. I don't have any strong memories of 1938 when Manchester City won the title and then got relegated in the following season. But I suspect Leicester, once they've got to grips with Champions League excitement, they'll be OK.
They won't get relegated. You realise how there's some really, really god-awful teams in the Premier League.
West Ham?
No. I wouldn't put West Ham above them. Actually, speaking of, Swansea draw 1-1 at Everton, but slip to bottom of the table all by their lonesome. Julian, you were rather mean about Bob Bradley last week, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. Are you going to be nicer this time?
Not really. It was a bit better. He seemed to learn a bit more of the lessons of getting hammered and battered in the last few weeks. They could have won. It still was not great. And I think it was more Everton, and we're not in a very good day, than Swansea in a great day. The jury is out still for me with Bobby, with our friend Bobby. I know you love him. Don't look at me like that. It's like, I'm not convinced yet.
Some laughed when David Moyes spent all that money on Victor Anichibi, but he came up big again as Sunderland spanked Hull.
Another Victor.
Yet another guy named Victor. Cass, you suggested in your excellent piece in the game that maybe our Victor isn't really selfish enough as a target man. You want to elaborate on that? Well, were you selfish?
As I got older and more experienced, yeah, and it added more goals to my game. I think Victor, 2005, he made his Premier League debut. 27 goals in 11 years, just over two a season. And he's got three in the last
that's
week.
That's difficult to
that
do.
That is. I mean, look, West Brom let him go.
Neville scored more goals than that in his career.
West Brom played £6 million for him. They let him go for nothing. And obviously David's worked for him at Everton, so that's why he's taken him. And I looked at Victor and think, what haven't you got? And he's actually a very difficult player to play against. I think I can only assume, and watching him, he never gets loads of chances to miss them. He just doesn't get them. And I can only assume, I look at him and think, you need to be more selfish if you want to get more goals.
Maybe David Moyes can do one of those things, like from the fly, where like you put like Victor and he should be in one box and Jermaine Defoe in the other. Great finisher, but getting a little older perhaps, and then you combine them into...
Good idea. Good partnership.
There were three Victors at the Riverside alone.
Right, enough with
that's enough with Victor.
Are you counting Chelsea's victories, Victor?
That's... Gab, one for you. So many huge games in Europe this weekend. We don't know where to begin. So what stood out?
There were tremendous games. I wish the powers that be, the great sort of Bilderberg conspiracy theory at the heart of European football could arrange it so they'd be more spread out. But the Madrid derby, tremendous Real Madrid going there, winning 3-0, Ronaldo getting a hat trick. But really, and I wrote about this in the game on Monday, Zinedine Zidane, really, I think, shocking. So many of us were so critical, so skeptical when he was appointed. He's proving everybody wrong. He's really making a difference. Equally, the Bayern losing at Borussia Dortmund 1-0. They had the upper hand, but obviously it's coming pretty tricky now for Carlo Ancelotti. And finally, the Milan derby. Tremendous. 2-2. Last-minute winner. Tremendous game. Up and down. And I think it makes you hopeful that the rightful owners of European football are slowly coming back and waking from their long slumber. And it's time for everybody to be very afraid. Right, that's all we've got time for today. Many, many thanks to my guests today, Tony Cascarino, Alison Rudd, and also Julian Lawrence. Remember, it's just £12 for a 12-week trial. Just search The Times online. Please press that subscribe button on wherever you choose to download your podcast and leave a review on iTunes if you're listening on an Apple device. We're going to be back next week. Till next time, bye-bye.
The Game is brought to you by The Times. For more information and more podcasts from The Times, head to thetimes.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince.
I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.